recording has started. We are on Mem Dalet Amud Aleph, I believe. What? Mem Dalet Amud Aleph. We are up to Bai Rabbi Yirmiyah. That's 1, 2, 3, about 15 lines in. Bai Rabbi Yirmiyah. Go across and type this Hamaycha, go 3 lines down. Bai Rabbi Yirmiyah Machu L'Shleishim Yaymahu. What if you sold the guy for 30 days? It means you rented the Eved out for 30 days to a guy. He's going to be living in a guy's house and working for the guy under the total control of the guy for 30 days. Is there a knas that you have to redeem him and free him, or he goes free automatically? You have to free him, or not? Because it's not a permanent sale, it's only a 30-day sale. The question is, was this included in the knas d'rabbanon? Rashi, after 30 days, he'll come back. Now, there seems like that the regular farhang who came in and took your evet, right, took him for temporary purposes, wasn't interested in stealing him permanently. He basically came in and said, either give me an Eved or give me money. But if he took the Eved, all he did is he used him for whatever he had to use him for. And then he returned him. So that would be similar to a case of Shleishim Yai. So we said you should have paid him off, and you didn't. But the Farhang was the guy that came in and demanded. But you gave him the Eved instead of money. That was your choice. And we said that's considered a sale. You should have paid him off. You didn't. You decided to give him the Eved. That was your decision. And since it was your decision, we said he's right to L'Cheres. Now, usually a Farhag was temporary. And yet we said he's right to L'Cheres. So that proves that even a temporary sale, which means a rental, is considered enough to go free. That's what the...
Hashem's asking a lot here, not to get, you know, not to use the money. I mean, the slaves are expensive. You know, you're going to get it back in 30 minutes, you know, an hour, 2 hours, whatever it is. If it is a short period of time, whatever it is. You're...
Again, he's in Eved Kanani, he's high in mitzvahs, and you're giving him to a guy.
For a short period of time. A limited period of time.
Again, that's the Gemara's Havamina. And the Gemara's understanding that therefore he goes free, because you gave him to a guy.
Anything in the rental?
Far on, you have said. In the case of the rental, you rented it for 30 days. There's no stipulation. That's coming later. Let's not jump.
Okay.
You gave him a rental for a guy. We're comparing that to a case of a far on. Now, far on, you didn't give anything, really. What happened is the guy came and demanded an Eved. He demanded an Eved, and we think for temporary use. So instead of giving him an Eved, you could have paid him off. You didn't. So we say he goes free. What we see from that is even a temporary is enough for the Knas. And for the Gemara, that he came for the Eved. The Gemara said, Havilei Lefayis, we had yesterday's Gemara, you should have paid him off, and he didn't, right? And you didn't.
I thought you said he asked for money.
Again, he would take money. He comes to ask for the Eved. You could have paid him off, and you didn't. And for the Gemara, Hasan b'farag ha'ivikacham sheinu chazeres. The case of Rav is the kind of farag that takes it permanently. There are different kinds of farhangs, whatever the translation of farang is in the Arch Grove. There are different types. Those who take it temporarily, those who take it permanently. And in Rav's case was the guy that took it permanently. You should have paid him off. That's when we punish you. But if you it's temporary, you have no raya. Rashi? Because we now think it's going to work for the government. That's what the farang is for. It worked for 6 months, 2 months, whatever the term is, and come back. Next shiloh. So we don't prove this shiloh. We have no proof to the shiloh. We tried. We have no raya. What if you sold the Eved to the guy, and all the Eved's going to do for the guy is produce Avadim? He's going to be an Eved Kanani, and he's going to produce Avadim for his new master. But he doesn't work for his new master. That was the deal. That was the sale. I'm telling you this, Evet, you have no right to work him. No works for me. He's my Evet for everything. For you, he's going to produce Avadim. He will be living in your house with your Shivchas, be your Evet producer. You sold him to the guy. He has a permanent right to the Evet, but not for Malacha, which means the chances of him not keeping mitzvahs is much less than he has to work for the guy. There's no Shabbos question. There's no other question. Again, we don't know who's feeding him. You're right. It's still somewhat of a question, but it's definitely diminished in a great extent. So that's the Gemara Shaila. That's Shaila 1. Number 2, Chutz Min HaMitzvahs. What if you stipulate he can keep all the mitzvahs and the guy will let him keep everything? However, he's going to be living by a guy. And when you live by a guy, the internet is on and television is on and everything else is going on in the house. Again, he's allowed to keep all the mitzvahs. But you're putting him in a guy's shasriva. That's how the Trap Cipher explains the Shaila. Chutz Min Shabbos and Yom Tovim. What if you didn't stipulate all the mitzvahs, but Shabbos and Yom Tov is off? What are we concerned about when we sell the Evet to a guy? What was Chazal's main concern? All mitzvahs? Or was mainly Shabbos and Yom Tov? What was their main concern? So what if you took care of Shabbos and Yom Tov? Because that's like the biggies, the big ticket items. You know, when you sell an Evet to a guy, the first thing you think of is going to have to work on Shabbos. Like he can become a vegetarian. He can become a vegetarian. I mean, other things he can.
A woman. There's a lot of things I shop. Why would you?
Yeah, let me hear them.
Tasha.
He'll be a vegetarian. He's like a woman. He's no shaper, no sucker. What? Okay, it's a drop in. I mean, no offense, but again, that's the Shiloh. Next Shiloh. Mao, the Ger Taishav. What if you sell them to a Ger Taishav? Now, a Ger Taishav is Machlokes Tanaim what it is. We paskin. A Ger Taishav is a guy who is Makabo himself, Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Nayach. In fact, the Rambam says he has to be Makabo because Moshe Sinai said that a guy has to keep Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Nayach. So he's a Ger Taishav. The reason he's called a Ger Taishav, he's allowed to live in Eretz Yisrael. And Ibn Abed Azar is not allowed to live in Eretz Yisrael. If a guy is Makabo Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Nayach, he's allowed to live in Eretz Yisrael. He's called a Taishav. He can live here. But he's not a Yid. He can eat Nevela. He's not a Yid. Now, the Evet sold to him. Is he a regular guy that's Ibn Abed Azara, that's like the real guy? He's a little bit on a higher level. He's a Ger Taishav. He has Eilam Haba. He can get Eilam Haba. So how would we sell to him? Is that included in the Knaf? He still doesn't keep Kashrus. And according to most Mishnah, he doesn't keep Shabbos and Yom Tov. For sure doesn't keep Yom Tov. Rashi Shita earlier in Yevamos we had is that a Ger Taishav has to keep Shabbos, but that's a chiddush. All the other Rishonim are arguing on Rashi. All right. Next, the Yisrael Mumer. What? Sorry. Ger Taishav, according to Rashi, has to keep Shabbos. According to everybody else, they're not allowed to. The Yisrael Mumer Mahu. How about if he's only a Yid that doesn't keep mitzvahs? He's a Jew, but he wouldn't know it by his activities. Is there a knas? You put him in an atmosphere, it's hard. But is he in? Is he included in the knas or not?
Yeah, I think that's true.
Yeah. The Kusi Mahu. Now, Kusi, we're going like the Mandyamin that says Gere Emes. But they weren't so religious. Meaning, the Makhloikas whether they were real game to begin with. But if you learn they were real Gerim, but they obviously weren't so from. So the question is, what happens now, is it included in the Knas or not? So these are all Shilas.
Rabbi?
It's not Jewish, or because he'll prevent the Evet?
Well, again, we had all these Shilas here. That's the Shilas, a lot of them.
I mean, it could be either way.
The Gemara is asking, what's the Halacha? So the answer to the Shilas will determine your answer to you. The Gemara doesn't prove them. At least doesn't prove all of them.
Rabbi.
One second, somebody's talking. Yes, hello.
Shabbos and kashrus and everything else, it still might be a problem.
That's the Shiloh, Chutz Min HaMitzvahs. But he's in a Gaish atmosphere. That's the way Shabbos Cipher explains the Shiloh. You put him at that guy's house. The television is blaring. Yes, Harvey.
I don't understand the basis of these questions. We have he's a goy, and so he would be automatically subject to Sheva mitzvahs anyways. But if he's an Eved in a Jewish home, I don't understand what his status is as far as his relationship to Judaism goes. Once he's out of the house, is the concern here that if he's temporarily out and he comes back into a Jewish home, he's going to bring bad habits? But I don't understand obligated for these things.
Yet Eved Kenani is chayiv in all mitzvahs that a woman is chayiv in. He's not a Ger Teshev. A Ger Teshev is a regular guy, a free guy, who accepts upon himself to keep the Sheva mitzvahs that goyim are obligated to do anyway. But he really does them. And he keeps them. So it makes him in a higher... Now, our question is, the Rabbanim made a knas for an owner, a Jewish person, who sells his Eved Kenani to a guy. We're trying to define the parameters of when they made that knas. So shaila number one was, what if you sold them for 30 days? Those 30 days, they'll be in a geisha house with an inability to do anything, just like permanent, except it's only 30 days. Was that included in the knas or not? Let me explain. Without the knas, you sold an eved to a guy, you did a bad thing, but nothing would happen to you. Came along to Rabbanan and punished you. And they said, you're mechuyev to go redeem that Eved and free him. And if you didn't deliver him to the guy yet, you better free him now for selling him to the guy. That's the halacha. Now, we're trying to set the parameters of that knas. Did it include a rental? Did it include if it was a stipulation that he's allowed to keep mitzvahs? Did it include a stipulation that he can keep Shabbos and Yom Tov? What if you only sold him to be an Eved producer? Not to do any work. What if you sold them to a guy who keeps Sheva Mitzvahs and therefore has a greater respect for the Jewish community? Is that enough to say that he'll treat the Eved Kenani in a way that we don't have to worry about it? How about if you sold them to a Yid that doesn't keep anything? These are all shy. How about if you sold them to a Kusi? What were the parameters of Rabbanan's Knas? That's what we're trying to define.
What if you freed him? Is he obligated...
He's 100% Jewish. He's as Jewish as I am. He has no choice. Remember, when he became an Eved Kenani, he accepted upon himself all the mitzvahs of a woman. He didn't, according to the way we paskin, he had to accept that willingly. He had an option of refusing to become Jewish. I have no interest in this business.
And once he's free,
he was willingly...
Once he's freed, does he now have all the obligations of a male?
Yes. He's a regular Jew. He's like me.
That's automatic upon what? His enslavement or upon his freedom?
Sorry?
He's a full Jew at one when he's freed. He has more than the obligations of a woman. Now he has all obligations. He has to be moiled, everything.
He has to be mauled as a slave also. That was the one obligation that the master has to maul his slaves.
Does he put on tefillin the moment he's freed?
Yes. He's as Jewish as I am.
Does he go... I'm sorry, I'm almost done.
There's 613 mitzvahs. A woman is sponsored from 12 of them. Right? As an Eved, he was chayiv in 601 mitzvahs. And now, when he becomes free, he gets the extra 12.
So part of his initial obligation is he's going to know and be told that if he is freed, he's in for the full freight.
Exactly. He has to know. But he accepts being an Eved Kenani. I mean, I don't know if he thinks of terms of freedom. He's going into slavery. But that's part of being an Eved Kenani, is that you get free, you become Jewish.
You're a slave market.
You buy the slave, you come home, and you sit down with him and say, Mr. Slave, let me explain to you. You are now in a Jewish home. To remain here, the way we paskin, there's many different shittas, the way we paskin. To remain here, you have to become Jewish. We have to be able to trust you in the kitchen. You have to be able to keep kashrus. You have to be able to keep Taras HaMishpacha. You have to keep all the halachas a woman has to keep. You can't wear shatnas. You can't eat tuma. You can't, unless you're an Eved Kayan. You, all the halachas that I have, he has to have. We explained it to him. Now, you have an option, Mr. Eved. You can say no. But if you say no, I won't be able to keep you for more than a certain amount of time. I will have to get rid of you. When to one man the Emirah, I can keep you. But you'll never be a status of Eved Kanani. You'll never be able to be trusted in the kitchen. You'll need a mashgiach. Because you never accepted those mitzvahs. So there's an Eved guy who's not an Eved Kanani, and there's the Eved guy who willingly accepted and went to the mikvah and had a bris to be an Eved Kanani.
There is a state that you don't have to go to.
Now, at this point, he's chayiv in all mitzvahs like I am, except the women that the mitzvahs that women are parted from, and he can't marry a Jewish girl. Those are his restrictions. The rest of it is complete. He keeps Shabbos. Whatever he keeps kashrus. Everything a woman keeps. Nobody views a woman and says that she's not as Jewish as I am. He does have one restriction. Jewish woman marries a Jewish man, and if it ever cannot, he cannot marry a Jewish woman. So he's not totally in the fold. And his kids are Avadim Kananim. They're not Jewish any more than he is. By the way, they don't have a choice. They are Avadim Kananim at birth. Just like I was born a Jew and nobody gave me a choice.
You know, Rabbi, we work so hard with Gerim. They have to study, they have to do this, they have to do that. This is why the status just feels so strange from the outside. Because
I hear
he could
you.
Be
I hear
an,
you. I hear you. I mean, again, in those days, how hard they were. We're much more careful with Gerim today than they used to be in those days. We're much more, I mean, they used to try to refuse it, but today we really put them through the ringer because we're afraid they're doing it for an ulterior motive. Nobody's accusing this Eved Kanani. Unless he's listening. He's going to be a slave. And if he doesn't do it, he's going to be sold to some guy down south.
Right. And it's possible that that his master can die in 2 months and not leave Yerushalayim, and he's free. And he's a Jew. And he may not, he barely knows kashrus at this point. I understand what you're saying. It just feels, since we don't have
hey,
that
you,
status,
hey,
we
hey.
Never see it.
I think slavery is banned these days. I don't think there is Eved Kananis anymore. At least not legally. No, an Eved's not Chayav Tamei Torah. A woman's not Chayav Tamei Torah. It's one of the 12 mitzvahs that he's butter from.
And a Kanami,
he has to learn kashrus. He says Birkas HaTorah. But a woman does.
Right. Is he chayv in wearing payas?
Interesting. Is he chayv? Pashtus not. A woman's not chayv in that.
No.
There's two laws that women are butter from. Payas of the hair, head, and payas of the beard.
Titsis?
No, a woman's not chayv in titsis either. It's a mitzvah to say shez man groma because it's only by day, not by night. That women are excluded from that.
I understand,
but he's not more chayav than a woman.
So
I think he's absolved from that. Again, I would have to look it up, but I think he's absolved from that.
Ridley Margaretin?
He's not chayav. A woman's not chayav. He's not chayav. Yes.
What if the goy b'zmanazeh comes up to you and says she wants to be sold into Abdus, she wants to become an Eved Kanani through the whole process?
I'll tell the guy I love him dearly, but the last thing I want to do is sit in jail for him. If a guy comes to me and wants to be my Eved Kanani, I would tell him I love him dearly, but I don't like to go to jail for having a slave. That's what I would tell him. You know, I like people, but I'm not willing to go to jail for them. If I take a guy as a slave, I'll be charged in court. I'll be all over the newspapers. No newspapers anymore. I'll be on the internet.
You could work it out.
We went through this already, that There was a big tumult after World War II when they found kids that were mamzerim because their woman thought their husband died in the war, and they remarried, and their husband showed up. So they wanted that terim is that if a mamzer can marry a shivcha, and the kids are avadim, and you can free them, and then they become Jewish. So they wanted to know if these boys can marry can they get some guy to sell herself as a shivcha kananis, and the mamzer would marry her. They would have kids who would be avadim. The master would free them, and they'd be 100% Jewish. It was a big tumult. Whatever it is, you'd have to find a country that allows slavery, because if not, you'd be in trouble. And I don't think officially, I don't think any country does anymore. Unofficially, I don't know what happens.
Yeah? No.
I don't think anybody allows slavery anymore. Right. Dr. Gemara, Pashit Miyachada. We can be Pashit, really, two of the one of the Shilas for sure, and two of the Shilas maybe. Ger Taishav Arukai V'Kachavim. The Brisa says, a Ger Taishav is a guy. Whatever Knas applies to selling him to a guy, applies to selling him to a Ger Taishav. Yisrael Mumer, Amilukai V'Kachavim, Amiluk Yisrael. There's a Machlokas. If you sell him to a Yid that doesn't keep Mitzvah, he's a Mumer. Now, we're not talking about a Tinnik Shadish, but that respects Orthodox Jews and will let them do whatever they need. No. We're talking about Yisrael Mumer. He doesn't care. He eats treifs, Michal Shabbos, doesn't care. So he's Yisrael Mumer, it's a machloikas. Lemaisi, he's Jewish. Did he include it in the class? It's a machloikas. Rashi. Dr. Rashi, chutz memlachtoi. Gufay kanilach, you own him. That's what the deal is. Vavachal is Yishtabish, bud. But you can't use him. Because that's not Shalei Masrei, Ela Lasir Lishvuchasir Levadas. You can marry him off to your shivcha and have kids. That's his job by you. You own him, but you only own him with serious conditions. The Ashtalim Matkami Mitzvahs Mechal Shabbos. He won't have to be Mechal Shabbos. He doesn't work for the guy. Inami, next Shiloh, Machor Lemlachta Chutz Mishabbos Yamim Tovim Mahu. He will work, but you made a stipulation, no Shabbos work. We can prove one of the shaylos, which is a ger taishav, and the Yisrael mumer, the brisa brings a machlokes, and the rest of the shaylos we have no proof. Not to give my advice.
Is the ger taishav more reliable or trustworthy to keep
his word? Yeah, it's not a question of keeping word. Nobody said a word about keeping word.
Why is the
guy talking? He's in a higher level. He doesn't serve a Venezuela. He's definitely more into. Listen, he believes in a God. He serves the God.
The bad influence is because of the more than
again.
Anything else.
Again. The question is, how did they write the parameters of the Takana? Is it included Gerd Teichev or not? He's not the regular Evan Kachov.
Rabbi Monica Rathman?
Dr. Braid, I'm talking to somebody live. Live takes precedence over phone. Yes. That's the Shiloh. The Gemara brings a price to yes. Yes.
Just like a
100%. Yes, Dr.
Braid. You skipped the word kusi. Does your Gemara not have kusi in it?
I said kusi, and I even explained it. I said it's going like the Mount Dhamma.
No.
The Mumer is both by a Kusi and Yisrael Mumer. Because the Kusi is like Yisrael Mumer. He's a gear that doesn't keep everything. By my name, Rabami. The Esther Rabami, the following Shiloh. Eved Shahapal Atzma L'Gayasa. A guy, an Eved, who basically gave himself up to some Gaiish army. You didn't sell him. He went willingly to go join the Gaiish army. What? We had it before, mentioned it. V'hein Rabbi Yochel Eitziyai, Leibedini Yisrael, Leibedini Evgachav. And you can't win your case in court. Meaning you can't take these guys to court to demand that they give you your evidence back. This is the situation. This is a group of Gaim that are removed from the law. He willingly joined them. Wasn't against his will. He willingly joined them. And there's no way their court's not going to help you. This is the fact. Why court's not going to help you? I don't know. But court's not going to help you. They're willing to pay for him. They're willing to pay. Can you take the money? Well, you take the money, you're selling him. But really, you didn't have him anyway. You might as well cop a ride and not lose your money. You didn't sell him. You never agreed to this. The Goyim, he went to Goyim, joined their group, and they, because of the kindness of their hearts, feel bad for you, are willing to pay you. Can you take that money? Because by taking the money, you're quote-unquote agreeing to a deal that gives your rabbit over to Goyim. Practically speaking, he's gone. But halachically speaking, he's still yours. By taking the money, you are endorsing, validating a sale. Is it allowed or not allowed? That's the shaila. Do Chazal allow you to do this? Zok to Gemara. Amalei Reb Yirmi L'Reb Zeira. So Reb Yirmi asked Reb Abi the shaila. So Reb Yirmi told Reb Zvika, Puk Ayim B'Mechotech. Go look through your learning. Go look through your Mishnayos and Brises. You know, they didn't have Gemara in those days. Go check it out. Because we want to hear your opinion. Navuk Dat Piyashkach. So Reb Zvika went, looked for it, and found the Brisa. Tanya. You're not allowed to sell a guy a house in Eretz Yisrael. There's an issue called Leishchanim. Do not sell a guy a house in Eretz Yisrael. It's prohibited. It is prohibited to sell a guy a house in Eretz Yisrael. Zok de Brisa. Now, if there's a terim, I'm not going to get in halacha l'maisa. You live in an Arab neighborhood, and it's dangerous, and you got to get out of there, and the only way you can get out of there is you sell your house. There's a terim. I'm not getting involved in halacha l'maisa. This is halacha. We don't want you selling a house in Eretz Yisrael to a guy. Field, I'm not getting involved in the sugya. It's the sugya of Eretz Yisrael. It's wonderful. Not now. I'm not saying that. We're talking about a house. Hamaycher based life in Chacham Dama Vatsurim. The parish. We punish you. You're not allowed to use the money. What if a guy took your house away? Right? Eminent domain came, some Geisha ruler, took your house away, and there's no way in court that you'll get your house back. But they're willing to pay for it. Mutar litul azama, you're allowed to take the money, that's what the price says. The Kaisav Amala Barkashalahan. And you can even go to their court to make this official, even though we don't like even going to Geisha courts. Nay, Shukamatsu Miyadam, because you're saving money for them. Why should you lose money to some guy?
Is that analogous yet?
So we want to say the same thing.
They took it. They seized it.
They see he went to them. They ever went to them. No difference if they seized him or they ever went voluntarily. That's what the Gemara says. Zok to Gemara. Maybe it's not a comparison. Because Dil Mahanim Ili Bayis, the Kibun Le Sagir Le Bele Bayis Le Asuluzune. Avda, the Sagir Le Bele Avda Asuluzune. Meaning like this. We're not afraid that you're going to sell your house to a guy. If we let you take this money, people aren't going to say, look, he sold his house to a guy and he got away with it. Nobody's going to say that. Nobody sells their house because usually you have to live somewhere. So if you have to live somewhere, you're not selling your house. So this is an out of an normal case. So we say, listen, you didn't sell it. The guy took it. You might as well take your money. People are going to think you can sell a house. It doesn't happen that often. People don't sell houses. They have to live somewhere. Avadim are sold. And if we let you take money for this event, somebody's going to say, oh, you can sell your avatar guy. So maybe we're stricter with avadim than we are with houses. That's the answer the Gemara gives. Zok to Gemara, so we slugged up the Raya. Shaluch l'Ravami, let me just finish. Shaluch l'Ravami, so Rav Ami, who was asked the Shaila, sent his answer. Right, Rav Yirmi had told Rav Zvika, go find an answer. Rav Zvika had found an answer, Rav Yirmi had said it's not approved. Rav Ami sent the following message. Mini Ami bar Nasan, Tari Yaitis l'chol Yisrael. From Ami bar Nasan, referring to himself, Tari goes out, meaning, I am a Paisik, and I am going to Paskin the Shaila. The halacha is Eved Shehapol Atzvai, the Gayasais, an Eved that throws himself to armies, to Gayasha bands, there's no legal recourse. Mutter little Azamov, you're allowed to take the money. The kites of a malabakosh have to govern, they can come out to me other. So Kavami, you don't like the Raya? You don't like the Raya? I'm paskening. I'm the boss here. I'm the Reich Bezen. And I'm paskening that that's not included in the knas. It's not included. You didn't sell him. It's a question of either losing money or getting money. You didn't agree to this to begin with. You're accepting the money. You might as well accept the money. We're not after that. You're saving the money from the guy. You might as well not take a loss. Rashi. Dr. Rashi, I am the Mechotev, the Mishnah Hasduraloch. In the Mishnah, as you know, lay the Manoshev. What should we tell Rav Ami? Do not let Goyim own land in Eretz Yisrael. The Kais of Lashtar, Umalei Ubarkosh Shalem, L'chois Moi, Ava Bish Chashivas Silahem, even though it's a Chashivas, right, to go to their court is like giving them credibility. Well, you're allowed to do that because you're not Mechuyim to take a loss. Right, just like when you call Yitzhak Bezen, and he refuses to go, and you call him three times and he doesn't go, Bethan gives you a right to go to court. So you shouldn't lose your money. That's the heter. You were not supposed to go to Gaisha court. We're not supposed to, but we're not Machayev the guy to take a loss. Now, we don't want him to make the decision, we want a Bethan to make the decision. That's our local lemaisa. You call a guy three times to din, he refuses to come to din Torah. The Bezim will give you a star saying, according that you have a right to go to a Geisha court. It's an instant to go to a Geisha court. You have a right. Because you're not going to take a monetary loss. You tried to do it the right way.
The problem is, you go to the Jewish court, you're taking the monetary loss. Because they want to be compromised. Their biggest compromise.
Rabbi Dr. Harris, Dr. Harris, please don't take this the wrong way. In the godless world, you're 100% right. If there would be no Rabbeinu Shlalom, then you're 100% right. That if Halacha says to compromise, that's what Rabbeinu Shlalom wants. We believe in the Rabbeinu Shlalom. It's no different than spending money on an asterisk. It's expensive to be Jewish. If there would be no Rabbeinu Shlalom, you're 100% right. Why in the world should I go to Jewish court? Might as well go to Galatian court and I'll win more money.
Who says that
the Gemara says try to compromise. By the way, you can refuse compromise in most bedrooms. You can say I refuse. I was in Din Tyrant recently. I wasn't one of the Dayanim. I went as a tie-in for one person. And they asked, does anybody here want to compromise? And both sides said no.
You need both sides to say that?
Well, you only need one to say that, I think. But in this case, both sides said they're not interested in a compromise. And then that's possible to compromise, of course. Meaning, one side demanded X based on a few things,
yeah.
And one side denied the whole thing. And Bezen gave right in one of the claims and gave it wrong. Meaning, they separated the different claims. They didn't compromise. They dealt with each claim separately. And in one claim, they gave right to litigant A, and in one claim, they gave right to litigant B. So it ended up being a compromise, but not because they agreed to a compromise, right? One side wanted $15,000, and one side wanted to pay nothing, and whatever, I don't even know the amount they decided, that's impossible, but it was different claims. But the Torah says, the Gemara Sanhedrin says, we want compromise. We prefer a compromise. They can refuse compromise. That's enforcement, yes. If you have a psak bezen and the guy doesn't listen, you're allowed to go to court to get it enforced. But you're getting it enforced as an arbitrator. Meaning what bezen does is they make you sign a thing saying that you're accepting this as binding arbitration. Because if not, it's worthless. And So what they do is, I was there, both sides signed a document saying that they're going to accept the Pesach of Bezin as binding arbitration, which the court recognizes.
But you can't use it to go straight to a case.
Again, binding arbitration means you're accepting Bezin's Pesach as an arbitration.
Because he knows that
Bezin's
not going to be able to enforce it.
No, that's not a heter. Go to Bezin, get a Pesach, then go to court. They'll enforce it. Don't go to court to decide. Go to court to enforce. They will enforce binding arbitration. It's the very thing. I mean, here's the lawyer, and Harvey's on the phone. Right? You have signed a binding arbitration. The court recognizes it in the overwhelming majority of cases. There are people that claim that arbitration, but whatever it is, you can fight arbitration. But usually, binding arbitration is exactly what it is, binding arbitration.
Yeah, that's all I need. What?
Somebody please mute. Yes.
This is not part of the, whether it's a class or not on him. He's an onus. Why isn't that the answer?
Again, nobody's saying anything. The question is, can he take the money? Taking the money is willingly agreeing.
Why should there be a knas on him?
Because by taking the money, you're saying, I am selling my heaven. But you're actually selling him. Was that included in the knas?
So the answer is he can't sell him.
The answer is he can.
He can't sell him. So the knas
is not included. That means it's not included in the knas. We're trying to figure out parameters of the law. Right. The Kaisel and Star Malay of Akoba did that already. But do Mahadli Gaza Rabban Bahak, the Muslim is Wuni Midaitai. Because we're afraid, by the house we're not afraid, because Hani Mili Bias, Lay Sakam and Inish by Bias. Nobody lives without a house. Well, I mean, the Inchi the Mazavni, people don't sell it. Asil is Wuni because we know what the Machira Dalma, but like Tipshat, you can't prove it. He wrote the following answer. I am the Resh Bezin, and I am going to paskin this. Meaning, basically, he's exercising Pesach without a raya. That's why he said those words. All of a sudden, he just says, why is he all of a sudden? I am. There it is. He has no proof. He didn't bring a price up. He says, but I'm Resh Bezin. I'm telling you what halacha is. This is halacha.
Making up something?
I don't know either.
Not listening to
the it's like Ramesh is saying, this is my Pesach.
I don't know how that works sometimes.
Well,
I don't understand, that's all.
Again, a person like Ravami doesn't need my Askama, right? His Matthias is Tyra. Everything that's in his mind is based on Tyra. He doesn't make things up, Tyra makes it up. Right? The famous part they say, when the Nebuta brings a Raya, he brings a Raya. When he says Nira Lee, it's the whole Torah is a Raya. His Matthias is Torah. Rami says, this is what it seems to me. He doesn't have a specific Raya, but he has his whole Torah is the Raya. His mind is Torahic. Nothing about it. I'm Rabbi Shua Malevi. If you sell your slave to a guy, we make you pay up to 100 times the value of the slave to redeem him and then free him. Is this a guzma? This is where Rashi learns the shayla. It's like 100 an overstatement? Or is it dafka? Or is it 100 times? Tashema. Damar Shlokish, Hamaycha Behem Agasalai V'Kachavim. There's a rabbinic issur of selling a behemah gasa, which means a working animal, not sheep, not goats, but animals that do work, like cows, and donkeys, bulls, cattle, and donkeys, mules. These are animals that work. You're not allowed to sell them to a guy. And the reason you're not allowed to sell them to a guy is because of a gzeira, because your animal's not allowed to work on Shabbos. Now, when you sell it to a guy, it's not your animal anymore. But he might borrow it or rent it, and he might work with it on Shabbos. If we let you sell it to the guy, you might think you can rent it to the guy, or you can lend it to the guy. Or he might come by it Friday afternoon, and he's going to tell you, can you do me a favor? Can we run a test? Can we see what the animal performs? and you'll be telling the animal things to do, yelling, go, whoa, giddy up, whatever you have to do, and it'll go because of you on Shabbos. And you'll be working with the animal on Shabbos. So because of that, it said no sales to a guy. So you're not allowed to sell a behemoth gossip to a guy. If you do, we punish you. And Rish Lakish said, we make you buy back the behemoth gossip for 10 times its value. Let me say 100 times, it says 10 times. That means 100 was a guzma. But the raya is, when it came to an animal, we said 10.
I mean, that's a
guzma
too.
Gemara doesn't consider that a guzma. But 100 is a guzma. So the Gemara, who says? Maybe by Evan we make it 100 times because it's a much worse haverah than an animal. An animal, you did an isser. You did an isser. You sold the animal. We're very upset at you. But it's over and done with. An Evan is a constant. Every day he's fighting kashrus. Every week he's fighting Shabbos. So maybe we're talking much stricter. Maybe we do make him pay 100 times. So it's no raya. Rashi. Dr. Rashi, kind to nice to live this way. Means we view all punishments as created equal. Here it's 10, so here it's 10, not 100. Any Dr. Rashi, any Michael Behem Agasa, Xerim Shimshilo, you might lend it to him, Uschiris, or you might rent it to him, or Nisuni, you might run a test at the beginning of Shabbos, Mesech Savanizar. Shiny Evan, could be 100 is Avka. I by an animal we didn't do this because Evan's worse. Shiny Evan, Iku the Amri. Some say Amri Yeshua Belevi. Yeshua Belevi said, "Hamaycha Avda Evan Kachavim Kain Tonight Asar B'damav." The second lashon says Yeshua Belevi said 10 times. Frek the Gemara. Davka or lav davka? Is it davka 10 or even more than 10? Here we want to know, is 10 the max? Or just picking the number 10, but it really means open-ended? Again, the Shiloh, the first one, was he said 100, did he mean that much? The Shiloh the second time, when he said 10, is that a minimum? Is that a maximum? Or is it just, he picked a number, but you really have to go higher? Davka or lav davka? So trashy. I love that because the boy minake say conceivably at the park. If you want more than 10 times, you have to do this. Work with the most of the nugget. Usually, for 10 times the price, they'll sell them to you. Zog to Gemara Tashema. Yom Rish Lakish, according to this version, Rish Lakish said, Hamaycha behem agaslav v'kacham kainsenei sad meyab at the bell. By an animal, it says up to 100. That means we're willing to go way higher than 10. So if we go by an animal higher than 10, we'll go by an Eved higher than 10. Dr. Gemara, shiny Eved, lay hudalay. By Behemoth, you're getting it back, so we make you pay 100. By an Eved, you're not getting it back, so we only make you pay 10. Check to Gemara, if that's the case, so make it 11. Because if you're not losing the Eved, you're losing one more value. So you want to tell me by animal, you only go 10 because you get the animal back. And since the Eved, you don't get him back. I'm sorry, by animal, you go 100 because you get the animal back. But by an Eved, since you don't go the animal back, Eved back, we don't punish you that high, so make it 99. You're only losing one Eved. Why are you making him pay 90 times his value more? Because you're not getting it back. Sorry. Why are you giving him, by an animal, we're saying 100 now. Because you're getting the animal back. And Eved, you're not getting him back, so we're not going to punish you that much. So how much should we make it less because you're losing the Eved? The value of the Eved.
He's not getting it back. Why are you paying anything?
He's going free. You're going to free him. You're going to free the Evan. So you're losing the Evan. So since you're losing the Evan anyway, we're not going to make you go to 100. So go to 99. All you're losing is one value, the Evan. The Evan's worth $10,000. By the animal, the animal's worth $1,000. We make him $100,000. By the Evan, he's worth $10,000. We also only go to 100 because we don't say 10,000 times 100. We say 10,000 times 10. Well, why? Because you're not getting the Evan back. So fine, so go 99.
No, you pay that much, and he's free.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the difference.
Yes. So to Gemara, Elbehem, a time of my mission going 100, like Litton said, Tvechat. that the Gemara Eved Musa L'Shchicha and Musa L'Shchicha L'Gazza B'Rabbanan. The difference is as follows. The reason Eved might be more lenient is because it happens much less frequently. People sell animals to Goyim on a regular basis, or at least it could happen on a regular basis. Where the Avadim, the Maitza, a Frum Yid, doesn't sell his Eved to a guy so fast. He knows what he's doing. So therefore, it's a less of a chashash. And therefore, we didn't have to be so strict. So maybe they only went to 10. So either way, the Gemara never proved the Shaila. In the first lesson, we didn't prove the Shaila whether 100 is a Guzma. In the second lesson, we didn't prove the Shaila whether 10 is a maximum. And we'll make some talk about the Rashi tomorrow. I wish you have a wonderful day. Tomorrow, I'm on the phone. I'm not live. I'm on the phone.